You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
It is the Gym Class for a Thursday here on KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us on 1600 AM 102.3 in Cedar Rapids, FM 106.3 FM in Iowa City, as well as the KGYM radio stream, the KGYM mobile app, and your smart speaker. Scott Unash with you from our studios. Buttons on the other side of the glass. Mark Dukes from his home on the southwest side in a moment. Joe Rivera, right, covers baseball for the Sporting News, will be joining us. Plenty to talk about. History made last night on the south side of Chicago, the 20th no-hitter in Chicago White Sox history. Carlos Rodon pitching it against the Cleveland Indians, a near-perfect game. We will talk about that coming up with Joe. We'll talk about that with you out there at 319-366-1600. That is the text line, phone line available to you, same digits, 319-366-1600. Let you know what's happening down at Hilton Head Island, South Carolina, in the Heritage first round. Cedar Rapids native Zach Johnson among the golfers in the field down there for that event the week after the Masters, traditionally the week after the Masters, and a lot more, including a bowling night in America. Wrap-up of both last night and the season as it's in the books for 2021. So sad. So sad. Good afternoon, Mark. How you doing?
Good afternoon, Scott. Buttons, everyone. Kind of a gloomy day, but sunshine in Minneapolis. I'm watching the Twins maybe give up another game. I can't count the ways they've done that this season.
Comical, as you have just put on Twitter.
Hey, that was a lot of fun watching Rodon last night. It really was.
It was. Wish we could have seen that a little earlier, but as far as the evening is concerned, but got home after the bowling and, yeah, listened to it on the way home, turned it on, and lo and behold, kept getting more interesting and exciting as the evening progressed. A near-perfect game for Carlos Rodon last night, and a great story with that young man, and that's kind of the sidebar, if you will. We'll talk about that coming up. Also, a pair of former Iowa Hawkeyes are going to be going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame posthumously, unfortunately, but we will talk about that coming up here in a moment. And then TJ Otzelberger, who was on with Todd and Alex yesterday, in case you missed that, you can go listen to that conversation as well as our conversations here on the Gym Class. You can do that at kgymradio.com as well as Apple or Spotify for all of your podcasts out there. And TJ Otzelberger getting his first high school commitment and a big one. We'll talk about that in a little bit as well. But yeah, Carlos Rodon last night, Mark, the number five starter for the White Sox, a guy that was not even sure he was going to be really in baseball in the offseason. The White Sox were not sure he was going to be a part of spring training for the Sox team and B, certainly on the roster that went north. He accomplished both those things. Chicago, a former number one pick, decided they did not want to part ways with him, brought him back to spring training. He has had elbow problems. He's had Tommy John surgery, some shoulder situations, you name it. He's gone through it, and as I mentioned, a terrific college pitcher at North Carolina State, but just ran into injury after injury after injury. Has always had very solid stuff, but it all came together last night at Guaranteed Rate Field against the Cleveland Indians.
It really did, and it was inches away from a perfect game. As you know, Scott, a hit-by-pitch that... I don't think the batter really made a great effort to get out of the way, but it just clipped his toe, and it was that close to a perfect game. And Boy, Jose Abreu made a heck of a play, too, to preserve it.
He did. First out of the ninth inning, slow roller up the first baseline. Abreu got the ball, dove for the or slid toward the bag while the runner was diving headfirst toward the bag. And you talk about a game of inches, Mark. That call, bang, bang, call, was a game, a call of inches. And the fact that the batter, when he slid toward first, he led with his right arm, but the right arm missed the bag. If that right arm touches the bag, the perfect game and the no-no are gone after eight-plus innings. Missed it. Abreu touched the bag nanoseconds ahead of the batter for the first out of the ninth inning. And then Yoan Moncada made a terrific play on a hard one-hop shot to preserve it. The final out, the 27th out of the game last night.
You're so right about that. And, I mean, watching possible no-hitters is one of the most fun things in baseball, I think. And you don't have to like a team. You have to like the moment. And I love the moment last night. The White Sox are my Twins' nemesis. But when a guy's going for a perfect game or a no-hitter, it's just must-see TV.
Yeah, it is. I agree with you wholeheartedly as far as that is concerned. And it was fun. It was fun to see that. And you mentioned the fact that it was so very close to a perfect game. And 319-366-1600, by the way, if you would like to comment as far as the perfect game or the near-perfect game last night, the no-hitter thrown by Carlos Rodon. And, yeah, you talked about how it's just very exciting. I think that may be the most exciting thing as far as baseball is concerned. Also, inside the park home runs, I think, are right there with it. When you know that it's going to be an opportunity for it, or you need a triple for the cycle, something like that, and ball goes into the gap, and you're, are they going to try it? Are they going to try it? They got to try it, right? They got to try it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just some of the things. And like you said, when you get to that point in the ninth inning, you're just, I think no matter your allegiances, I hope that you're trying to just see, unless it's like a pennant clinching thing or something like that against your team, that you're trying to get somebody home with a no-hitter.
You know, on the other side of Chicago, the Cubs have not allowed a hit today either.
Oh, okay. How far is that into it?
They're not playing today.
Oh, geez. See, you baited me on that one. Oh, hook, line, and sinker, Mark. Hook, line, and sinker out there. 319-366-1600. There is baseball. Twins are making a comeback, though. It's 3-3, bottom of the eighth, correct? And they Twins got two on?
Yeah, second and third. Scott, they actually bunted. Had first and second, nobody out. And Jake Cave was asked to bunt.
Nice. Nice.
I mean, and it was successful. But now the Twins have two outs, runners second and third. And almost guarantee you they're not going to score.
You're sounding a little bitter.
I've seen enough of this already through 12 games.
Are you on the verge of a Twins timeout? Because that helped me with the White Sox timeout that I took, a brief one.
Well, these afternoon games reel you in. I love afternoon games, especially when you work from home and get a chance to see a ball game. And it might not be a bad idea, though, should the Twins lose this one. Let's see.
We'll see. 319-366-1600. The Sox are playing today an afternoon game against Cleveland. They are through six right now, and Cleveland leading the White Sox 2-1. Lance Lynn on the mound for Chicago. Throwing another very good game for the White Sox. Sox pitching has been good for the most part so far as the 2021 season, very, very young. We'll talk baseball here with Joe Rivera coming up in just a little bit here. On the text line here at 319-366-1600, by the way, you know the two teams that have not lost series so far this year, Mark? One of them is pretty easy. One of them is pretty easy to figure out.
The Dodgers, probably?
Yes, the Los Angeles Dodgers. Do you know the other team that has not lost a series yet?
Well, it's not the Red Sox. They dropped their first three, but have won every game since. Help me.
You had them pegged as your surprise team this year in the American League.
Angels?
No, that was mine. No, you are Kansas City Royals.
Yes.
Yeah, our friend Cal Eldred getting things done as far as Kansas City is concerned. Off to a 6-4 start, but they have not lost a series as of yet. So there you go.
Interesting.
Yeah. 1527, our friend Ralph on the text line. I don't know how you guys would have handled Perez ruining your perfect game. But I would be throwing at him the next time I see him at the plate. he was the one that took the hit by pitch on the toe in the ninth inning last night, ruining the perfect game. There have been a lot more egregious, and we're going to talk with Joe Rivera about that. A lot more egregious hit by pitches and associated things with hit by pitches so far this year. That's been one of the things in Major League Baseball in 2021 to get started. Matt in Fairfax, I'm a huge Cub fan, and I watched both of Burley's no-hitters, and it was awesome. So exciting to see. I would very much agree with that.
And they were quick games, too, weren't they?
They were very quick games. That goes without saying. 0835, Mark, I will join you in timeout, but mine will be with the Cubs. very good. And yes, 8186, first ever Lisbon Relays tonight. And at their brand new facility over there in Lisbon. Finally, a track meet on the new track. So congratulations and best of luck to everybody over there as they get ready to kick that off coming up here in the next hour or so with quite a bit of track and field and soccer and golf around on another kind of overcast, gloomy Thursday here early spring in eastern Iowa. And Rebecca Kopelman with our TV partner Channel 2 on the weather tweeted out earlier today that we are right now in the midst of a very depressing weather situation, and it doesn't look like it's going to get any better anytime soon, as the advanced forecasts call for very, what did it say, below normal temperatures. It's a bubble right over basically the state of Iowa.
Maybe Rebecca and Joe and all the meteorologists need to take a timeout. How about that?
Are we just putting the whole world in timeout right now, except Carlos Rodon?
Scott, we've been in timeout for a year.
Very good point. 319-366-1600 at 318. We're going to talk to Joe Rivera coming up here in about 8, 9, 10 minutes or so, and talk Major League Baseball, the early edition anyway, as far as Joe is concerned. He writes for the Sporting News. A few other things to throw out there today and mention. Honors going out to former Hawkeyes. Mark, the NFL Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio, making announcements today.
Yeah, the actual induction ceremony is going to be in August, but the NFL has chosen to honor nine men posthumously April 28th in Canton. Among those going to be honored are Alex Karras and Duke Slater, both of whom played at Iowa. Karras, tremendous career, not only in football, but in acting. And Duke Slater, the first black NFL player. And they will be honored again April 28th.
Very good. And it's just too bad they're both not here, obviously, to enjoy the honor. But their families will enjoy it. And, yeah, great to see with that. And Alex Karras, somewhat a little bit controversial anyway, but had a lot of he had a lot of things going on, not only his football career, but also, of course, you mentioned acting. Is he most known for Blazing Saddles? Is that probably the case? Am I thinking of the right thing here? Now, he was also in, what was that sitcom? It was Before Your Time, Buttons. Don't get in on it. I'm going to look it up here because I have to. You know it, Mark. Come on. What was it?
It's escaping me right now. I know the text line will help us out.
Looking it up. Yes, he had a cameo on an episode of MASH. I do remember that. Blazing Saddles. He was in the movie Porky's as well. Webster. It was Webster. Thank you, 6429. Right on the tip of my tongue. But yeah, he will be inducted into the Hall of Fame. Duke Slater as well. Going into the Hall of Fame. So that's terrific news for those families out there that can celebrate that particular feat. We mentioned college basketball news today as TJ Otzelberger picked up his first high school recruit. And I know Mark talking about this with you earlier today, and this was kind of, I don't want to say a no-brainer or anything like that, but as I told you, I think it was one that TJ Otzelberger really 99.8% had to have, and he got it today.
He did. Tamman Lipsy from Ames High School, class of 2022. He's got another year of high school remaining, but he's a three-star player, regarded the number one recruit in Iowa. And when you have someone like that in your backyard, you got to grab him if he fits. And Otzelberger obviously felt Lipsy fit very well. And, you know, Scott, I have not seen him play much basketball, but I did see him up close and personal on the football field. Pretty fair football player. You know, Jefferson didn't have a good season last year, but led Ames at halftime 31-21 in a playoff game. But Lipsy was the only guy that was going to beat him, and he did. 340 yards rushing and four touchdowns.
Yeah, he was pretty good that night.
He was so elusive. Not that the Jefferson defense was any version of the 85 Bears, but he was tremendous that night. Again, the only guy on the team that could have beat Jefferson that night.
Yeah, and just a tremendous athlete. I have had a chance to see him play in a couple of occasions basketball. He did miss an entire season. He missed his entire sophomore basketball campaign with an knee injury. I believe it was a torn ACL. But just a tremendous, tremendous athlete. You mentioned his football prowess. He could be a Division I football player as well.
Yeah.
There's no doubt in my mind. And he is a tremendous point guard. Very quick. Can get to the bucket. Decent outside shot. I know it's something that probably can be worked on a little bit, but he can beat you off the dribble. And when you have a new coach coming into the situation that TJ Otzelberger is, as far as Iowa State is concerned, and you've got the number one guy in the state right there in your hometown, I think it's a situation, whether you need him or not, you have to make a statement and you have to go get him. And they, A, need him, and B, they accomplished that by going out and recruiting and getting him. Had a long line of suitors, and most of them around the Midwest, a lot of Power 5 interest with Lipsy. But he's going to be a good one for Iowa State. I don't think there's any doubt about it. And like you said, he's got one more year. He's got his senior year with the Ames Little Cyclones, so we'll see how it all plays out, but a get that TJ had to have and one that he got.
Yeah, and yesterday we talked with Ben Visser of the Gazette about this, and I know Todd and Alex had TJ Otzelberger on their program yesterday, both podcasts available at kgymradio.com. And yeah, and I think with Lipsy, he's not going to arrive till 2022, but Tyrese Hunter out of Milwaukee recommitting to the Cyclones, and what Otzelberger has done in the transfer portal, quickly putting together some pieces.
Yeah, and he's got a pretty good backcourt right now. I mean, Lipsy can – either one of those guys can be your point guard. Well, it's the Baylor model now. Baylor had three guys that could play point guard. You can't have enough point guards in the modern-day college basketball. So go out and get as many as you can. Iowa State has done that, and good start as far as T.J. Otzelberger is concerned with what he is trying to put together as far as the Iowa State basketball team is concerned. So nice job by him. 319-366-1600 as we come your way here on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Before we talk baseball with Joe Rivera, let's hit the links. It is the first round of the RBC Heritage at Hilton Head Island, South Carolina. A very good field there at Harbortown Golf Links, right along Calabogie Sound, Mark, off of South Carolina. And that includes Cedar Rapidian, Zach Johnson.
Yeah, kind of a home game for Zach. He lives not far from there at St. Simon's Island. He had an early tee time today. Not a particularly good round for Zach. Three bogeys, two birdies, and a round of one over par, 72. One of his neighbors, Stuart Sink, the ageless one, in at 8 under par, 63, for a two-shot lead.
Sink's playing good golf. He got an invitation to next year's Masters by finishing, top 20 last Sunday.
Very good finish at the Masters for Stuart Sink. And Zach obviously will have a later tee time tomorrow. He'll have to play pretty well to make the weekend.
He will. It's an invitational. It's not the usual field of, 156 or whatever. There are 134 that are there as far as Hilton Head Island is concerned. Some of the other names up there, you got Billy Horschel, who's three off the lead. Harold Varner III, Daniel Berger, Danny Willett, Brian Harmon, fresh off a very good finish as far as the Masters is concerned. He is up there as well. Well as Will Zalatoris. That'll make Ralph and Riverside happy. Will is minus three. He is tied for 14th. On the course, best round right now, you got Danny Willett at 4 under, and then Colin Morikawa at minus three. As I mentioned, a pretty good field. Dustin Johnson also world number one in the field this week.
Actually, you have Cameron Smith on the course at 6 under par through 14.
Oh, you're right. Yep, I didn't. Yep, Cameron Smith. And as we mentioned, it's a 180-degree turn from Augusta National to go to Harbortown because it is they go from the biggest greens on tour to the smallest greens on tour, the most narrow fairways from the wide open spaces, basically, of Augusta National. So it's a very good, interesting turnaround that these guys go through out there. 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. We'll have a Bowling Night in America wrap up as well in just a little bit. But we're going to take a break, come back, and talk to Joe Rivera. Covers Major League Baseball for the Sporting News. And we'll get into MLB and talk about the near-perfect game last night from Carlos Rodon. Got the no-hitter and more when we return. You're listening to the Gym Class right here on KGYM. Back with more after this.
Heading to the Solid Waste Agency on a Saturday? You need an appointment. Just make one at solidwasteagency.org. Saturday appointments help keep the lines down and traffic moving at the Cedar Rapids Linn County Solid Waste Agency. So if you want to drop off recycling or garbage at the landfill or resource recycling building on a Saturday, you need an appointment. If that's not your thing, stop by during the week, because no appointment is needed Monday through Friday. Get details at solidwasteagency.org. Stay safe out there.
Is this about the cauliflower in my fridge? I meant to eat it. I just didn't get to it yet.
No. When Linn County REC says vegetation management, they're not talking about the uneaten veggies in your crisper drawer. They're referring to trees, shrubs, and power lines. That's the kind of vegetation management Linn County REC's into. Trees and shrubbery are great for our community, but they don't play well with power lines. If they come in contact with wires, they can cause service interruptions or even serious injury to someone climbing the tree. So when you're planning to plant a tree, think carefully about where you're going to put it. Know where the power lines are and consider whether it might interfere with those lines as it grows. If so, just plant it somewhere else. And if a tree or shrub has already grown too close to wires, Linn County REC may need to prune it for everybody's safety. See? That's vegetation management. And it's just another one of the nifty little benefits of membership with Linn County Rural Electric Cooperative. And it wouldn't hurt you to eat that cauliflower either.
Hey!
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
Reimagine your outdoor living space with Alexander Lumber and Trex. Choose the enduring beauty and durability of Trex composite decking, engineered to eliminate time-consuming maintenance while offering superior scratch, fade, and stain resistance. You'll spend way less time taking care of your deck and a whole lot more time enjoying it. The experts at Alexander Lumber can't wait to help you create the deck of your dreams. Stop and see them at Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
3:30 here on KGYM. A reminder, starting next Monday, it will be Pardon Our Interruption on KGYM Sports Radio. We'll be interrupting your favorite hosts each weekday to give you a shot at winning $1,000. All you need to do is, when you hear us interrupt any radio show here on the gym with the cash keyword, head to kgymradio.com and enter in that hour's keyword for your chance to win $1,000. You got multiple times to do that during each day. You can go to kgymradio.com for more information on that. Major League Baseball is front and center right now. Season a couple of weeks underway. And Joe Rivera is set to join us right now from the Sporting News. And amongst other places, give him a follow on Twitter. Kind enough to join us here today. And Joe, how are you on this April Thursday?
Gentlemen, I'm doing very well. How are you?
Well, as a White Sox fan, I'm doing pretty well after last night. And not so well today through six innings, but anyway, great to see Carlos Rodon. Great story. And anytime there, like we talked about a little bit earlier on with our listeners, anytime there's a chance at a perfect game or a no-hitter, I think kind of allegiances for the most part go aside and you kind of get behind it. And it was great to see that last night.
Yeah, absolutely. Rodon's got such a great story. He's a guy that has been, you don't want to say underachieved, but he's always been kind of the middling starter, and then dealing with the injuries, and then non-tendered this winter. And then these are the kinds of stories that, you know, I'm a total sucker for, man, in baseball, as much as I love analyzing it. You know, the heartbeat of baseball is something I'll always appreciate. And, you know, one stupid slider got away from him, but otherwise he really was perfect last night. So great to see. Great story. Good start for the White Sox. Good start for him.
Hey, Joe, on the north side, are you prepared to talk Cub fans off the ledge at this early juncture or not?
Oh, man. You know, it's still so early. It really is. But, you know, the Cubs really have offense. You know, I mean, they have names, right? So we know they're going to come around to hit at some point. Anthony Rizzo looks like he's starting to wake up a little bit. He's recognizing pitches a little bit better, but all his peripheral numbers, his advanced analytics numbers, all are pretty much in line with where he's been in his career. I mean, his walk rate is right there. His strikeout rate is right there. The only thing that's concerning me is his line drive rate. He's not really hitting the ball hard. So that's pretty much the only thing that's concerning me. But, you know, the Cubs were always going to be in a fight in that division. The NL Central's tough, especially when you see what Cincinnati's doing right now. And they've certainly figured out their formula, and they got their offense going. So, you know, it's still certainly early. I'm not ready to pronounce the Cubs dead just yet, but it's not the most encouraging start, that's for sure.
Well, they're just the batting averages are not good right now for the Cubs. And that was kind of the situation last year in 2020, albeit a 60-game season. You know, heavy strikeouts, they'll hit some home runs, but, you know, a lot of 210, 220 batting averages.
Yeah, and it's not, you know, you can't really point to, well, that's baseball, right? That's, you can't go there, because when you see guys like Baez hitting 200 and Rizzo obviously under 200, maybe ironically the guy that has been hitting a little bit has been Chris Bryant, right, with the home runs, and all of a sudden it looks like he might be good again. But yeah, the rest of that lineup doesn't look great right now. So, like I mentioned before, they certainly have names. So you hope that they can play to the back of their baseball card at some point, and they're really going to have to outslug a lot of teams. The rotation is kind of eh, so they're going to have to get in a lot of those like 9-7 type games in order to give themselves a real chance in the division and for a playoff spot. But like I said, it's still early. It's not encouraging. It's not great. But, 2 weeks in, give it another few weeks. We'll see where they are then.
Joe, I'm watching my Twins try to give away another game away to the Red Sox. And the question is about the Red Sox. Best record in the American League. Really got a lot of pop in the lineup. You trust them to go the distance?
Trust? No. I do like their lineup. And I've always said, even with, trading away Benintendi, I wasn't really a fan of, because when you have a team that you're not going to get a lot out of the rotation, I know the rotation's been pretty good so far this year. Evaldi's been really good this year so far, but you look at that rotation and it was always going to be about, well, how many runs can they put up? And obviously they're playing in the division where a lot of the ballparks are going to play to their benefit, but it's a question of if they can keep it up. Right now, their offense is Rafael Devers and J.D. Martinez. Devers already has five. I think both guys already have five home runs on the season. So they certainly came to play, and they look like they got their swagger back with Alex Cora back at the helm. But I don't know, man. The pitching is what I'll always come back to, because Eovaldi, for how good his stuff can be, I don't trust him to lead the rotation and stay healthy the entire season, right? And Eduardo Rodriguez has pitched well and coming back from the COVID stuff. So trust them to go the whole season? No, I think they will be better than people expect them.
Yeah. Tough division, too. Everybody likes Toronto. Baltimore got off to a pretty decent start, but I think everyone's kind of relegated them to fourth or fifth. And then you have Tampa and the Yankees. And, it's not going to be easy for Boston, certainly. But it's going to be fun, I think, to watch between Toronto, Tampa and the Yankees as we get a couple months into the season.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll tell you what about Toronto. They are a fun team, man. And we knew for years that they had the talent coming up, and Bo Bichette's been something else. And ever since he's come up, he's been really good. So the Yankees are the team that concern me the most, I think, in that division, in that their rotation, they're playing with fire again this year, and that they are trying to rely on Corey Kluber to return to his old self. Doesn't look like that's going to work out, even if he's historically not had the best start to the season. And then you're looking at Jameson Taillon, who still has the stuff, but he's been rusty. He hasn't pitched in 2 years. So when you're relying on two-fifths of your rotation to try and carry the rest of that weight, if it were veteran guys, kind of reclamation projects, you're not really sure what you're going to get. And Domingo Germán already got sent down, and he's a guy who Yankee players weren't really welcoming coming back from the domestic violence suspension. So they're going to play this game again where they're going to try and get as much out of their rotation as they can after Gerrit Cole, and then they're going to go to their bullpen. But long-term, is that going to work out for them? Is their bullpen really going to carry them all the way through to October again? And then are guys going to tire out? So it's a fun division to watch. Tampa, obviously, too, still very good. These guys know how to pitch. Hopefully they get Chris Archer back soon. But Toronto right now, they're probably the most fun team to watch in the AL East.
In terms of must-see players, Corbin Burnes from the Brewers doing historic things. 30 strikeouts, no walks, never happened in I think over a century. But where do you rank Burnes right now in terms of one of the best pitchers in baseball?
It's crazy, because then you look at Corbin Burnes' career and he's never been a starter, right? Or he's only started a few games in his career. He's primarily been
right.
A bullpen guy throughout the majority of his career. He started a few games last year. I want to say he started 9-10 games. And so it's fun to see him kind of come into his own, and Milwaukee really, really needs that, man. They need that pitching, and we know that they've struggled with that recently. So, yeah, he's been definitely fun to watch, and his stuff is just so electric. The slider is just disgusting. It's just one of those guys that, maybe not everybody's paying attention to Milwaukee right now, but guy's just been, he's been otherworldly. He's been painting everything. He's been challenging hitters, which is always fun to watch, up in the zone, down the zone. He's not afraid to pitch anywhere. So see if he can keep it going, but certainly it's an encouraging start for the Brewers starter.
Yeah, it is. Joe Rivera joining us here, talking Major League Baseball on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Hey, two teams in the American League that we both kind of said, hey, we like going into the year a little bit more than maybe some people did. I had the LA Angels in there, and they're off to a pretty good start right now. Good thump as far as the lineup. We'll see if the starting pitching can hold on. And then Mark, like, he thought the Royals might surprise a few people this year, and they're off to a pretty decent start in Kansas City. How about those two clubs?
Yeah, you know, the Royals are such an interesting team because, honestly, last year when they started putting their roster together, it was going to be based around a lot of speed. So they brought in Billy Hamilton to try and add that speed element to the game, and they were going to kill you just on the base pass alone. But you know, they put together a really solid squad. Sal Perez is back. Carlos Santana is a pretty underrated signing. He hasn't been off to a fantastic start, but he's a good veteran presence in the lineup. Whit Merrifield is probably the most underrated player in baseball at this point. All the guy does is wake up and hit. That's just about it. And then they swing a trade for a guy like Benintendi, who, again, he's another guy who hasn't gotten off to the best start, but paying dividends to that lineup. So, you know, I do like the Royals. I don't know how much they have in the rotation to really keep it going this whole season. Mike Minor's a guy that's always been like, you know, a solid number three starter. He had one good year in Texas. He looked really good. I don't know how good they'll be long term, but they're certainly fun to watch. And then with the Angels, and I don't want to say everything, but a big part of what the Angels are going to do this year is how good Shohei Ohtani is going to be in the rotation. Obviously, he's been solid so far this year. But without him, it's really Dylan Bundy. And then, you know, you really trusting Alex Cobb long-term. Griffin Canning's a guy who had a good year. Last year came up as a rookie. He was decent. You have to keep building on that. He hasn't really gotten off to a fantastic start this year. But I do like the Angels. I think they still have work to do in their pitching. I think missing out on Trevor Bauer this year and Gerrit Cole last year is really going to hurt them in the long term, because they just can't seem to figure out their pitching, and they haven't pretty much since Mike Trout has been there. But you know, two teams to watch. The American League as a whole is still pretty down. You know, not a lot of teams have improved this year. But, you know, given that, then, you know, I pretty much everybody's going to be in it for wild card spots.
Joe, in the category, when is Major League Baseball going to quit fiddling around with rules, okay? MLB is partnering with the Independent Atlantic League, as it has done in the past, and I think the second half of this coming season, going to experiment with moving the mound back 12 inches. And by the way, that's the subject of our poll question today at KGYMradio.com. What do you make of this?
So, interesting story. I want to say 2 years ago, and I actually wrote a story about this. 2 years ago, I went to a Somerset Patriots baseball game, which is actually a former member of the Atlantic League. They're now the AA affiliate for the Yankees in the realignment. And Rick Teasley that night was actually pitching. He pitched a perfect game, right? So it was unbelievable. 27 up, 27 down. Indie baseball at its finest. You know, free chicken fingers for everybody kind of stuff. And then you have the runner on second base, put in the extra innings, and the Patriots actually ended up losing that game. Talk about a downer, man. And that's, you know, I think baseball is going to keep trying to find a way to appeal to a new audience, but I don't know that, you know, anybody really cares about a runner on second base rule, and I don't really know how much people care about the three batter minimum rule. I mean, that kind of stuff isn't why baseball is not popular. It's because of the speed of the game. It's because the league has routinely failed at marketing its stars over the years. It hasn't been the sexy sport. It hasn't been the highlight sport. And anytime you get guys with big personalities, it's always, you know, shut up and run the bases kind of stuff. So I think more than anything, baseball thinks that it's a rules problem, but I disagree. I don't think it's a rules problem. I just think it's a marketing problem. I think the marketing is the biggest part of their problems at the moment. So, yeah, they're going to keep fiddling. They're just going to keep trying to figure this thing out. The double hook rule was really interesting, if nothing else. I don't know how viable that is. Long term, it certainly kind of makes sense, but it's not without its questions either. So I don't see it stopping anytime soon. I think that, you know, the accessibility of the game and the marketing of the game are the bigger issues, but it doesn't look like they want to solve those first before trying to solve a game that doesn't need solving right now.
Well, you bring up a very good point, Joe, and a lot of people, both baseball writers and just fans in general, pretty up in arms the other night. You mentioned the fact, starting with a runner on second base, happened in the Cleveland White Sox game. Brilliantly pitched game between Giolito and Bieber. And all of a sudden it's 0-0. Boop, got to throw a guy on at second base to start the 10th. And things eroded there as far as the White Sox are concerned. But some people say maybe go a couple innings before you do that, and then maybe in the 12th you start with that. I don't know if there's a good way to go about it.
Right. And for me, that's the biggest thing is that, you know, when you get to extra innings, it's one of two things has to have happened. Either it's a slugfest where, you know, you're locked in a 9-9 game entering extras, or it's a pitcher's duel where guys are scrapping and clawing to get on base, right? There's usually no in between there. So you're either looking at it as, why do we need the offense, the help for offense in extra innings when we're already scoring, or, you know, everything in baseball is earned. So why do you want to sully a beautifully pitched game by giving someone a gift that base runner? That's what doesn't make sense to me. So if you are going to do it, I've been saying this, if you are going to do it, then you start it in maybe the 13th or 14th inning. I don't think you need it that early on. I don't think you need to wrap it up, you know, with like a 5-minute overtime and shootout like what hockey does. I don't think you need to go that length. So I know managers are going to like it because you get to save your bullpens. You don't need to extend guys too much. But at the same time, it's just I don't like saying fabric of the game because I think that's like condescending and cheesy and just, you know, too purist for me. But it's one of those rules that certainly screws up what baseball is kind of all about. And it's not really not fun to watch.
Before we let you go, got to ask about one of the things that a lot of people are talking about in the early portion of the season so far has been hit by pitches. We saw it last night, a lot of people complaining about, you know, the hit by pitch in the perfect game. Should he have gotten out of the way or whatnot? We're seeing more guys over the plate. We're seeing more guys diving. We're seeing more guys trying to get hit. And no one's calling anyone out on this thing. Just your thoughts about this early on.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of things. I think you look at the fact that I don't want to say that I don't want to wear my like tinfoil hat on here, but I do think the baseball is probably a little changed again. When you look at the way that the ball's just not, you know, just using my eyes, I haven't done a deep dive on this yet. But home run balls in the last 2 years that have gone out just have not gone out this year. And I know it's still early. It's still cold in a lot of places. I think that's part of it. I think pitchers are kind of getting used to that again. And we've heard guys during spring training say, you know what, the ball feels a little bit different this year. So I think that's part of it. I do think, you know, as a game goes longer, umpires are less likely to try and keep guys in the box. And we see how the chalk erodes throughout a game, and guys just keep creeping up or creeping back and diving over the plate, like you mentioned. So, yeah, I don't really know how you police it other than tell umpires, you know, do a better job. But it's certainly something that's been, you know, Michael Conforto, you win a game on a walk-off hit by pitch when you're literally over the plate and the ball was a strike. It's like, if you're a major league umpire, what are you looking at? So, yeah, it's something to definitely keep an eye on. Fans and writers and everybody certainly have a right to be a little bit upset about that so far, because just tells me that umpires might not be doing their job as good as they should be.
There's got to be a Joe West joke in there somewhere. I'll just let that go.
He's a $500,000 richer.
Wasn't due to his call, three calls yesterday in that game, but.
Nope. He's buying lunch, I'll tell you that.
Hey, Joe, appreciate it. Keep up the great work, and always good talking baseball with you.
Gentlemen, thank you again for having me on. It's good to hear from you. Thanks for having me.
All right. Joe Rivera joining us, Major League Baseball writer for the Sporting News, and give him a follow on Twitter. Yeah. Joe West had three horrible calls yesterday. And, of course, it's Joe West, so you get to see those more. Same thing with Angel Hernandez. You get to see every one of their mistakes over and over again. How would you like that if that was you, Mark? You get that reputation, you get to see your mistakes and hear your mistakes over and over and over again. But they make so many of them.
Reputations are earned, are they not?
That they are. That they are indeed. All right. Take a break. Come back. And we will have, among other things, a Bowling Night in America wrap up and wrap up when we return after this here in KGYM.
We know that we can count on Topaco to help us reach our dreams. They're always there for us. After my father had passed away, I'd gotten some of the guns. It just brought back memories of us going hunting Christmas morning, Thanksgiving morning. That was just time that I wished I had more of. You reflect on things and wished you could have done things different. I had time and I just completely took them apart. It just really intrigued me how the parts all worked together and everything. I enjoyed it. Then that's when I started looking into gunsmithing schools.
Usually I'm the one with the dream and then he somehow makes it happen. So I called DePaco and I got a hold of Cassie and she found a way to make it happen. DePaco has always been there for us. So as soon as we got the loan, I knew that our future was going to go down a different path.
I think he'd be very impressed that I chose to go this route.
Your money for good. Learn more at DePaco.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
Cleanliness and safety are essential to the success of any business. That's why Cintas has introduced our Total Clean program, a one-of-a-kind service that includes scheduled deliveries of essential cleaning supplies, hygienically cleaned uniforms, and on-site sanitizer and disinfectant services to help eliminate germs. Learn what the Cintas Total Clean program can do for you.
Oh, I'm ready!
Visit Cintas.com and get ready for the workday.
Nothing can prepare you.
A dragon marking? It's an invitation.
Means you've been chosen.
For Mortal Kombat. On April 23rd.
We don't have much time.
The worldwide phenomenon comes to life.
I am Sub-Zero.
Get over here!
Mortal Kombat. Rated R. Under 17. Not admitted without parent. In theaters and on HBO Max April 23rd.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league. But they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym. 3:52 on the Gym Class on KGYM. We'll get to Bowling Night in America coming up here in just a moment. Well, I want to let you know that WeddingDayIA.com is still up, running, ready for you out there as Z102.9, our sister station's wedding show, can be viewed right there on that website. That'll be the start to your beautiful future out there. That's WeddingDayIA.com. And go through everything that they have. KGYMradio.com has more details on that. And Mark, a melancholy evening last night at May City Bowl as the 2020-2021 bowling season wrapped up last night. And some very interesting stories last night. Storyline number one is we have a champion, and that really wasn't a surprise. Congratulations to Marcus Mitz and all those guys, Ryan Bundy and everybody that won the championship last night.
Yep, Diamond Eds was the team champion in the Adult Evergreen League this year, and really good team. No coincidence that Marcus Mitz and Ryan Bundy had the second and third top averages in the league this year. And the Rusty Nails, on the other hand, got donnered last night.
So did Scott.
losing all three games by an 8-2 margin, 24-6 victory for Pro Bowling Concepts. But we retained fourth place. And that's up three spots from last year. So good job by y'all. And I think we had three or four guys finish with a 200 average or better, including you.
I did. Went from 201 to 200.83, though, last night. They don't round up, so it's 200. But we're going to take it. We're going to take it. Yeah, we did what we had to do and got the help we needed to stay in fourth. It had to be pretty catastrophic for us to drop from fourth. But we've done that before. I think it was because we were bowling on Facebook Live that threw us all off. We're going to go with that as our official team excuse last night.
Yeah, live stream, thanks to Chase Donner. And that was kind of fun to see since we couldn't have many spectators, if any, out there at May City Bowl. And Chase, by the way, with a perfect game last night. And I think it was the first game,
yep.
Right?
Yes, it was.
Chase Donner with a perfect game. Congratulations, Chase. And Brian Buzz Moore with a high series at 8-10. And good to see for Brian. Joel Donner, also on the Pro Bowling Concepts team, ended the season with the top average in the league at 243. So congrats to one and all. And July will come quickly. We'll get the call that it's time for a meeting for the next season.
Yes, it will. And hopefully we can get everybody back. There were a few teams that sat out this year and hope to have them back coming up next year and get everybody back and going again as far as bowling. Hats off to everybody out there at May City. Do appreciate helping out with Bowling Night in America. The entire staff for Tom Churchka and everybody out there, they do a tremendous job. Summer leagues are forming. Keep that in mind. If you would like to get out and bowl, or if you just want to take part in open bowling, you can do that or visit the pro shop at May City.
Yep, give them a call, 362-0136. And I got a nice website as well, maycitybowlcr.com.
Yeah, check it out. Check it out. And, yeah, was a great year, and we'll try her again coming up next year. No transfer portal, by the way. We were talking about if there was a bowling transfer portal, what that would look like, but we all decided that wouldn't be a good idea.
Chase Donner on our text line trying to get me out of retirement, wondering if I'll be back next year.
Oh, the biggest news of all. Can we break this news, Mark? Can we break this?
I responded as a spectator, Chase.
No. We have breaking news here. 2258 on the text line. Pin Pals are back in 2021.
How about that?
More importantly, is our jacket okay? Have you been taking good care of it? Have you been, laundering it, et cetera, et cetera? We are looking forward to getting that back next year.
One of the great rivalries in sports, is it not?
Yes, it is.
Pin pals
and rusty nails. We'll get back after a year absence next year. Awesome. Great to hear. So, yeah, we could have 16, 17 teams next year. That's great to see. Twins won, Mark.
Did a little bleeder by Max Kepler knocked in Luis Arias from second base, a 4-3 Twins victory over the Red Sox. Arias with four hits today, and Alex Colome did not blow it for the Twins.
Very good. Bottom of the eighth inning, the White Sox trail the Indians 4-1. Leaky defense on the White Sox part. What's new? And San Diego has beaten Pittsburgh by a score of 8-3. Atlanta beat Miami 7-6. Baltimore and Seattle are tied at 1. That one, second half of a doubleheader. Seattle won the first game by a score of 4-2. Twins are back in action tomorrow night. We'll have it for you. You get to go out to the Big A and take on that lineup of L.A. Angels. Good luck out there. That's an 8 o'clock start tomorrow, 8:30 with the first pitch. We'll have it on the Jim O.T. 107.5 FM. Tomorrow, Leah Vann joins us to talk Iowa football. She covers the Hawkeyes for the Gazette. And Iowa golf coach Tyler Stith will join us as well. The Hawkeyes hosting their meet at Finkbein coming up this weekend. Have a good night, Mark.
Yep, talk to you tomorrow.
All right, stay tuned. Todd and Alex coming your way next, KGYM.
This spring, there's an outside chance you're ready for some outside projects and 100%